Hi, this is Todd Friel, Executive Director of Fortis Institute. Perhaps you've noticed Christians aren't looked upon as favorably as we once were, and we're determined to not retreat in the face of persecution, taunting, legislation that makes life harder for Christians to speak the Bible. I'd like to invite you to join us in our spring matching gift campaign. No retreat. We are determined to stand firm, and we are inviting you to stand firm with us. We will continue to make as many and more resources as we currently do because we are determined to see our King exalted. And if that matches your heartbeat, would you kindly consider joining us as a gospel partner? Your gift is doubled right now. You can learn more and join us at fortisinstitute.org/donate.
That's the number one thing you have to do, is to work on yourself.
What if nothing's holy and everything's allowed?
Because the truth is, you are enough.
I now always go with the heart.
There has to be a better way.
Tell yourself true things about God, not about yourself. God's word has to be your filter, your lens through which you see your emotional responses.
There is a better way. And now your host of The Better Way, this is Libby Glosson.
Okay, this one is for us all today. Quit burying the lead. You are not the headline. Your story is not the point. So many evangelism strategies these days center around our personal testimonies. Not in theory. We still say we're going to share the gospel with people, but in practice, it often sounds more like, hey, let me tell you what God did for me. And nowhere is this more visible than in the way Christians talk about their stories. Personal testimony, personal narrative. This has become a primary evangelistic currency, especially online. Scroll social media for 5 minutes and you'll hear it. God healed my woundedness. Jesus rescued me from my pain. I know y'all have seen the I left New Age, I left OnlyFans, I quit partying for Jesus. Those reels with all the nitty-gritty details of the radical life change and some really cool before and after spiritual journeys. And I totally get it. I get why this stuff resonates with us. It feels compassionate and personal. It's dramatic. And in most cases, it does give a sense of hope in seemingly hopeless situations. But here's the problem. It's incomplete. When someone's testimony, a person's story about where they were, who they were, what they were doing, when that becomes the center of the gospel message, something gets lost in the shuffle. And what's incomplete in that capacity eventually is going to become misleading. When your personal experience becomes the lens through which you're presenting the hope of Christ, the good news of the gospel, you're going to distort both God and the gospel inevitably, because the gospel is not ultimately about your story, your pain, or even your healing. It's about God's glory in the saving work of Christ for sinners. And when our personal story becomes central, that truth, the glory of God and the saving work of Christ for sinners, that becomes secondary. And listen, sharing your story is not completely wrong. Testimony has a place. Mark 5:19, Jesus tells the man who had been demon-possessed, he tells him, go home to your people and report to them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he had mercy on you. So personal testimony in and of itself is not the problem. But when your story takes center stage and the gospel becomes the next best supporting actress, you've inverted the entire mission. You got everything upside down because no one is saved by your experience, by your story. They're saved by the truth. And that's truth with a capital T, by the way. That means scripture alone. Romans 1:16 doesn't say your testimony is the power of God unto salvation. It says the gospel is. The message, objective, outside of you, unchanging of the gospel, that message is what God uses to raise the spiritually dead. But if you remove the offense of the gospel, the truth of the gospel, you also remove its power. Jesus didn't say, go into all the world and share your story. He said, preach the gospel, Mark 16:15. And that gospel includes hard truths, that God is holy, that man is sinful, not wounded, not just broken, but guilty. We've broken the law, that Christ bore the wrath of God as a substitute on our behalf, and that the only right response is repentance and faith. Now, your testimony can illustrate that, but it can't replace it. So here's what happens when your testimony takes center stage. You start with, I felt empty. I was struggling, in order to try to relate to the person that you're talking to. And then you talk about how God helped you and how much better you feel now. And these are all probably true things, but there's something missing. You're missing sin. You're missing the holiness of God. You're missing the necessity of repentance. And without those, you don't have the gospel. You have a story of self-improvement and a picture of a God whose mission is to give you a better life instead of the gospel message of new life, new creations, and death to self in order to live for Jesus. And that is the feeder mentality that's seeping into the church, into our evangelism, trying to convince us that what someone has experienced, their story as they came to saving faith, that that's the biggest deal in the room. That testimonies that center on emotional transformation and where you were and where God has brought you to, that that's more powerful, and that our evangelism needs to focus on being relatable, not on doctrine or theology, and that the idea of everybody is a mess should be the headline so that everyone will feel welcome. Like, come on in, join the party of a whole church of mangled people. But that's not the truth if you're a believer. If you've come to saving faith, you aren't mangled anymore. You're new. Yes, the Bible does speak about suffering and weakness and affliction and the reality of who we were before Christ. I'm not looking to minimize all of that. The person that you were before Christ, the stuff that you were engaged in, the things that you were consuming and participating in, all that stuff is real and hard and awful. And probably some stuff that you wish you could have a do-over on. But Scripture never gives those things as the foundation for evangelism conversations. Your personal experience doesn't carry more weight than the words of God in the pages of Scripture. Now, if anyone had a dramatic story, it was Paul. Can you imagine his YouTube channel? By modern standards, Paul would have been the ultimate testimony speaker. I mean, his conversion alone could fuel an entire speaking circuit today. This was a guy with a violent past. He sanctioned the murder of countless Christians. And talk about a dramatic change. Confronted by Christ himself, blinded on the road to Damascus, a radical turnaround, a total life transformation. The headlines practically write themselves, don't they? And yet, when you actually read his letters, that part of Paul's salvation story is not the focus. He doesn't camp out there. He doesn't rehash over and over again where he was or who he was for days on end. He doesn't spend his time unpacking his trauma or centering his message around his former self. He doesn't build his ministry on, let me tell you who I used to be. He doesn't constantly revisit his past sin or his pre-Christ life. Instead, in the pages of Scripture, we get a clear picture of a man who is absolutely consumed with Christ and the gospel and the glory of God. And this is such a departure from what we see swirling around us today when we think of how people share their testimonies and how people elevate their own experiences under the guise of storytelling for evangelism's sake. Paul operates from a different emphasis. He says crazy stuff like, for me to live is Christ, and I decided to know nothing among you except Christ Jesus and him crucified. Paul's identity is not, I'm the man who used to persecute Christians. His identity is, I am in Christ. And even more than that, his mission is not to get people to understand his backstory. His mission is to proclaim Christ crucified. His testimony is subordinate to the proclamation of truth because he knows that the power is not in his story. The power is in the gospel. Paul's not looking to be relatable or heard or seen. He counts everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ. Everything. His past, his prior status, you know, he was the Pharisee of Pharisees, his story, none of it compares to the surpassing worth of knowing Christ. Now, side note, if you're hearing me say that you should never share your personal testimony with others, you're missing the point. That's user error, my friends. That is not what I'm saying. Sharing what Christ has done in our lives is a glorious thing. The point that you might be missing is that that story, the before picture of you, that part should be the smallest part of what we share. Because Paul did share his testimony. He does reference his past. Acts 9, Acts 22, Acts 26, just for example. Paul gives his backstory, but never as the message. His story is like a delivery van bringing the truth to the front door of people's lives. When his personal testimony serves a purpose, like defending the gospel or defending his apostleship or magnifying the grace of God or warning people about biblical things, Paul is ready to share his testimony. Take Acts 26. Paul stands before Agrippa, and he recounts his conversion. And yes, he tells how he encountered Christ, but he doesn't give a running commentary on his emotions. He doesn't relay all the gross details. He just gives a general idea where he was pre-Jesus, but then he moves quickly to what Christ said and who Christ is. You won't find any therapeutic language or vague spiritualized ideas of how God made his life better. There's just a brief overview of who he was and where he was and a quick turn to gospel proclamation. The pattern Paul gives us is, yes, we share our testimonies, absolutely, as long as they're subordinated to the gospel message. Our personal experiences with God, helpful, but submitted to Scripture. And your story, should you share it? Well, it's not actually your story. It's God's story. My husband says that all the time when people ask him for his story. He just answers, it's not my story, it's God's story, and that's what matters anyway. So let me tell you about him. And that's the model that Paul gives us. So let me ask you this. If Paul didn't center his story like this on himself, why do we?
And we'll be back with more from Libby in just a moment, who's making the case that the gospel is not your testimony. Amen. Let me ask you something. When's the last time someone other than your spouse told you the truth directly? This directly, like Libby is. I'm not talking about anonymous strangers that you meet online. I'm talking about somebody who actually cares about your soul and is not afraid to say what most Christians are not saying. That is something that is becoming rarer and rarer today. And Libby is one of the voices that is still doing this consistently. Keeping voices like hers in front of people is exactly what Fortis Institute is about. That's why we exist. But here's the other part of that scenario. We only exist at your hands. That's the way we're funded, is through men and women just like you. We call them gospel partners. These aren't big corporate sponsors or advertising deals. These are regular men and women just like you who have been impacted by something that they've heard here at Fortis Institute, so much so that they wanted to link arms with us so that more people in more places all over the world would also have access to the content we're creating. Maybe that's you. Maybe you are someone who has been impacted by something you've heard here and you want to join us. Well, you know what? We will gladly stand arm in arm with you if that's the case. Only, however, if you're giving to your local church. That's our one caveat. If you're not giving to your local church, we don't want you giving to our ministry. We want you to actually get that taken care of and fixed in your life, because that's your number one giving priority, and that has got to be right in your life. So if you listen to The Better Way every week, if Libby has helped you sort some truth in your life, go to FortisInstitute.org right now and find out what it would look like in your life to join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Now, let's get back to Libby Gloss, and this is The Better Way. Welcome back to The Better Way. Now, let's turn down the world's noise and get back to The Better Way with Libby Glosson.
If we contrast Paul's model of incorporating his personal testimony into the gospel message with much of what passes for evangelism today, we're going to see the difference. We've trained people, the church has trained people, well-meaning people, to think that the most compelling thing they have to point people to Christ, to help lost people see the truth, is their personal story. But your story by itself has no authority. The Word of God, that's a whole different ballgame. And if the hair on the back of your neck is standing up right now and you're like, hang on just a hot minute, what is the problem with the rescue-centered gospel, with telling people how you were caught deep in your sin and God life-flighted you out to a new reality? Doesn't that hit people right where they're hurting and give them hope that there's a solution? How about the evangelism strategy that starts with reassuring someone that Jesus came to rescue you from your wounds? He came to heal you. Let me tell you how he did this for me. And there it is again, that little slight distortion of truth that God has somehow promised that the message of the gospel is rescue from human oppression. But this is dangerously incomplete because the Bible doesn't primarily describe our problem as woundedness or oppression or that we are people drowning in need of a helicopter rescue. It describes our primary problem as sin. The hurt, the wounds, the brokenness, those are all symptoms. Yes, I have a headache. That's the symptom. Now, the cause could be stress or dehydration, or I could have a brain tumor. And all of these things require different remedies depending on what's causing my headache. Well, in this case, we've got one cause. And all of those symptoms we experience, all of it, brokenness, hurt, heartache, hard things, what we used to be, who we used to be. Scripture's pretty clear about the cause. The Bible doesn't say that our greatest issue is that we need to be rescued, although that is part of the picture. It says our greatest issue is that we're sinners before a holy God, and our greatest need is redemption. And if we get this wrong, we've got some instant issues. Focusing on the I need rescue aspect is pretty passive. It comes across like something that has happened to us that we aren't responsible for. The gospel becomes about personal healing and making a person feel better. And that means the seriousness of our condition gets minimized. The problem is not what has happened to us. The problem is what's going on in us. Sin is active rebellion against a holy God. It's something we're responsible for. If we don't call it sin, then we don't need a savior anymore. We just need someone to heal our emotional wounds, to listen to us, to encourage us, to be our therapist. And that was not and is not the purpose of Christ's atoning sacrifice. He died to save us from wrath. The wrath of God, to remake us into his image. So he goes after the root issue, and he addresses the symptoms, because if Christ digs out the root of sin, we get the side effects. We get no more brokenness, no more walking around like a wounded duck. Healing actually does begin. The gospel message, what the Bible tells us the gospel message is actually a whole lot bigger and better than just a rescue mission. Jesus did not primarily come to affirm you or validate you or boost your self-esteem or deliver you from human oppression. The gospel is this: God, in his holiness, sent his son to bear the wrath deserved by sinners. That's you and me. So that through repentance and faith, we might be reconciled to him. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The cross is not primarily about your emotional repair. It's about atonement, propitiation, justification, reconciliation, God's justice satisfied, sin paid for, righteousness credited to our accounts. And if we lose that in the cloud of our personal testimony and really well done before and afters with breathy music playing in the background, we don't just lose clarity, we lose the gospel. Now, does the atonement address the subordinate issues, those hurts, the heartaches, the depression, the hopelessness? Does Christ's sacrifice lead to transformation and wholeness? Yes. And does that bring restoration? Absolutely. There are definitely implications for healing and wholeness, but those are the fruits, not the root. Think of them like side effects and good ones, not like the side effects on those prescription commercials that are 100 times worse than the thing you took the medicine for in the first place. The problem is what we're seeing right now is a tendency to elevate the side effects, the fixing of the symptoms as the motivation to come to Christ. And the root gets neglected. And the danger of centering your experience, your story of making it all about the side effects that you get to experience, that's right where we started today. And it's dangerous because when you become central, you start to define yourself by who you were then and what you've been through and what's been done for you instead of who you are because of who Christ is and your union with him. If you elevate your personal testimony above scripture, you're building your evangelism strategy on something man-centered. But when you take your story and you use it as a pointer to the author, you get a gospel message from the unchanging truth of God's breath on paper. That's the Bible. Now you have the heart-changing truth. Now you have something solid to offer. Now you have the good news to share with a lost person. God's word is the thing that causes change in the heart. Hebrews 4:12 says it's living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. Scripture's not just an inspirational book. It's our one source of truth, and its job is to expose, to lay bare the heart. Your testimony can't do that. And this matters because if someone responds to your testimony without understanding the gospel, what exactly are they responding to? Relief, belonging to a community, the potential promise of a better version of themselves? Well, that's not conversion. That's not regeneration. And that's definitely not the gospel. And Paul understood this. That's why in 1 Corinthians 2:1-2, he says, "I did not come with superiority of speech, but I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." Think about that. If anyone could have leaned on personal credibility, it was Paul. He was educated, he was respected, he had the dramatic conversion story we already talked about, yet he deliberately minimizes anything that would compete with the centrality of the cross. And why? Because faith that rests on human persuasion, even amazing before and after faith stories, is an incomplete faith. And there's a danger here. Paul goes on in verse 5, and he says, "So that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God." Yikes. If your evangelism consistently centers on your story, you may be training people to place their hope in something that can't save. You may be pointing them to the wisdom of men instead of the power of God. Now, does that mean we never share our testimony? I've already said, no, of course not. But we need to recover its proper function, the sharing of our testimony, because our testimony is not the spotlight, it's the launching pad. Don't hear me saying that you need to leave your personal testimony at the door, but do hear me saying that our stories need to be rightly ordered. Now, if you're scratching your head right about now and trying to wrap your mind around how this might actually play out, think of it like this. Instead of leading an evangelism conversation with, "Let me tell you how broken I was," start a conversation with something like, "You know, we've been neighbors for a while now, so I just have to take a second and tell you about my God. He's awesome." Or instead of posting an Instagram reel highlighting your life of ick before Christ with image after image of what you've been through and how you used to be, how about a conversation, a gospel conversation about Christ himself and a blip on your current reality? Look at what this Savior has done in my life. Now, it might sound like an inconsequential difference, like I'm making a mountain out of a molehill, but this is no small thing, y'all. A biblical testimony, a Paul-modeled testimony, minimizes self and magnifies Christ. He is the point, not you. In a story like this, you will emphasize sin itself, not just the struggle you found yourself in. And in the end, the change in you will not be about you being better or feeling better. It will shine a huge spotlight on God's grace, on his kindness and his love. So if you're one of those people who's wrapped your whole God story in the tortilla shell of look at me and how different I am, and you're freaking out right now because, oh my goodness, telling and retelling my story of where I was and who I was in comparison to where I am and who I am now, that's my whole gig. That's my whole identity. And if I flip-flop this like you're telling me, Lib, oh, then all of my suffering and my story, it's not going to have a purpose anymore. Can I just tell you that you do not need your story to be the center in order for your life to have meaning? You don't need to constantly revisit who you were. Because if you're in Christ, that's not who you are anymore anyway. The Christian life, our new life in Christ, it should never be about our narrative. This is His story. We're just blessed to be in it. The Christian life is about knowing Christ, proclaiming Christ, and being conformed to Christ. So let your personal testimony take its proper place. It's not your story. It's His story. And the more you anchor your evangelism there, the more clear and faithful the gospel message will be. And now that you know that the gospel should take center stage while your story plays the supporting actress role, put it into practice for your good and His glory.
This has been The Better Way with Libby Glosson, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed The Better Way with Libby Glosson, would you consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? And also, would you consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until tomorrow, go serve your King.